All right, good evening, everyone. Tonight is Thursday, May 29th, 2014. And this is a, kind of a special meeting tonight. Just wanted to bring everybody up to date where we're going, what's going on, what we're doing. As everybody knows or should know by now, that we've received a letter from the judge, and he has not put us onto the calendar. And we did respond to a writ of error, which he did get today. He would have gotten it overnight mail, and before 10:30 this morning was the guarantee. So he should have gotten it today. He's given 24 hours to respond, which is tomorrow. Of course, we'll look on until Monday, into the weekend. We can't really respond on Friday. And we'll see once what he has to do. We ordered him that he should respond overnight mail to us also. And I believe we gave him a fax number also, if I recall. But let's just go quickly through what we've got going here and what they have done and the game that they're playing. I truly still believe that we have a 90% chance of getting through this system here at this level on the federal court in the districts. It is true that they are an admiralty court or some kind of a hybrid court combination, admiralty and chancery court. Clearly they are a chancery court, there's no doubt about it, and when you walk into these courts, they fly the flag with these fringes on it, and that tells us it's admiralty. I have noticed that all towns, and I'm not sure about cities, but all towns and village courts fly, have the flag with the fringes. I didn't notice in the Supreme Court. I didn't really look. But I did notice in the federal courts a couple of times I've been in there that they have the fringe flags. But nevertheless, they're an Article III court. Last time I was there at a federal court, which was last week, the judge clearly said he was under the Constitution, but he was pretty slick in his words because if anybody had listened closely, he did identify himself with his authority through the legislature. And being that he has authority by the legislature, then he now is under, in this case, admiralty or again, chancery. And again, I believe it's a hybrid of the two. The court of law, he's also under equity, which kind of umbrellas this somehow. I don't know who could figure all this out. But nevertheless, there's two sides of the court, bottom line, that have been given authority. One is equity, and one, of course, is law. When it comes to law, there is no legislation concerning it. None whatsoever. Any legislation is on the how the controls of the other courts go, as far as creating courts. Congress can create courts under Article III that is inferior to the United States Supreme Court in order to hear cases previous to the United States Supreme Court hearing it. Of course, that's only one court with nine individuals, and they can't possibly hear all these cases. So they count on all these federal district courts to hear these cases. But you are immediately hijacked. I saw that I was in federal court first time maybe about 6 months ago, and maybe it was longer than that. Let me think. Goodness, yeah, about 8 months ago. And it was clear. I mean, it was like a tug of war trying to maintain jurisdiction. They worked overtime to pull me out of jurisdiction, and I worked double time to prevent them from doing that. And I did succeed in that court. The second time I was in federal court, he worked. I saw not my case, someone else's case that I had assisted a little bit. And clearly it was a tug of war, a fight for jurisdiction. Actually, at the end of the day, at that hearing, the judge did kind of win, but there was an objection. But it really didn't matter because the guy that whose case it was objected to the whole process anyway, and so now all he has to do is write his papers and reestablish his jurisdiction, and the battle will continue. But that's what it is. Why should we have to go to court to fight with the judge when we're going to court to fight with other problems, to deal with problems? And that's a fraud. Clearly, in this case, it's the same thing. The first judge that was chosen for this case was Christian Hummel. I did not post that paper. It's a one-page paper. And really, this individual, he recused himself because he said that he knew or had some kind of relationship in some way with some of the judges down in New York City. And of course, we have indicted eight executive judges, Supreme Court judges, the executive authority to the unified New York State Supreme Court. And it's the entire executive. That's all there is eight judges in the executive part of that court. So they are those eight judges are responsible for everything that goes on in that system. And hang on one second. Hey Tony, we're online. Are you online? I gotta go. I'm online. Okay, I gotta go. Go dial the phone number. We got a meeting today. Bye. Sorry. I forget where I was. Anyway. The executive judges. So there are eight of them, and we indicted all eight of them. And so anyway. This judge recused himself because he claims he knew. Now, the chief judge, I believe he's the chief judge, is this other judge, Judge, let's see, Sotheby. I believe is how you pronounce his name. But let me just first look at this other paper. The very first thing this person did in responding to us has called us the plaintiffs. We have never called ourselves the plaintiffs. And so right there was a change of jurisdiction, or at least our positioning, that we are the tribunal. So they're trying to move us out of that position. When we got the paper from Sotheby, which has been posted up online, it's a two-page paper, and that paper not only changed our position from who we are, as far as you know, as far as who we are, from tribunal, that's the jury, to plaintiff, but he also did some other changes. He called us pro se, plaintiff pro se, and pro se means we are representing ourselves. That means we're not in a common law court. We are self-in-law. We are in our own person, and there is nobody representing. We can get counsel from people. They can give us counsel, and we can permit counsel or best friend or next friend, I believe the federal courts call it, to assist us and speak on our behalf from time to time or even throughout the whole process, but they're not representing us. You're represented by attorneys in the equity side of the court, which really kind of separates the people. It's a whole different process. So there is the battle. What I find most interesting, and not that I know a lot of people have been into the federal courts, but I do know a couple, and some people have gone in there without having to pay the $400. At least that's what they're charging here in New York, whatever it is there in their state. I guess it's the same all over. And once they got past that process, no one bothered them after that. The judge didn't bother them or anything else. What I found interesting is that was his big case. We didn't pay the $400. Well, we were very clear that we were the people, and we're not going to pay that $400. We were very clear that we were the tribunal. And we made the point in our paper, of course, when we responded back to him with the writ of error, that it's pretty serious problem when it costs you money to have to report a crime. And let's see how we put it. We the people will not be extorted in order to report a crime. Because that's what we're doing, and it seems that nobody wants to hear about it. But they are going to hear about it. The other thing they did to try to bring us out of jurisdiction is they referred to us as a group. And the word group has a couple of meanings. It does have a corporate side to it. And it also, a group is kind of identifying people as some kind of a classified situation. You know, a group of this and a group of that. No, no, we are the people, period. And again, another move for them to throw us out of our jurisdiction. Now, he didn't throw us out of the court. He just wants us to pay the $400. We're not going to pay that $400 in this federal court for one main reason. You know, the state courts are pretty dumb to begin with, and there's absolutely no way to get into a state court without paying the money. At least I haven't met anyone here in New York that's been able to bypass that. Unless they fill out all this silly paperwork and say they have nothing and we're poor and they can't afford anything. And, of course, they would try to get you for fraud for that, I'm sure, because they'd probably find a way to prove that you really could pay for that. It may be hard, but, you know, whatever. But in any event, so we just paid the state court to get in. The federal court was a breeze to get through. We denied payment when we went up and filed it. And they said, oh, okay, fine, just fill out this form. And we denied doing that. We said, well, the people, we're not going to file any form. This is our court. And then we gave them the file on demand. They took that, they stapled it to the front, and they did all their stamping and went through the process, and that was it. So we got in. Now, there are two codes that this guy referred to, Sotheby. And both code, one code refers to civil cases, which this is not a civil case. This is common law, and it's a criminal case if they wanted to classify it as anything, because we're reporting criminalities. But ultimately, we're there for the sole purpose of really acting as a grand jury and from within the courthouse, and therefore under judicial auspices. And of course, they're denying us that. So that one code doesn't apply to us in any way anyway, because it's civil and we're going criminal if they want to classify it that way. The other code that he put out was for prisoners. I don't know what he was trying to say there. Clearly we're not prisoners, or maybe we are prisoners. Maybe we're a prison planet. But in any event, we're not prisoners. And he is saying, well, file the fee, and you got 30 days to file the fee and pay the fee, and then you can come back into the court. Of course, we responded with a writ of error and an ultimatum, and we required that he respond, like I had mentioned a little earlier, within 24 hours, which is tomorrow, and we'll give him till Monday. And if he doesn't respond by signing the paper, now the paper that we want him to sign is the order, and hopefully everybody's read this order. I believe I read this the other night, the order. Which really refers to ultimately all the states. And if he doesn't sign that order, then we ordered him to make a date for us to come in within 8 days. And then we would tell him what his fate is going to be. And we kind of put it that way, if I recall it. Let me see if I can find that real quick so it would be pretty accurate. And I can't find it very quickly, but it's in there. If anybody that read this, you know, we can look for it, and maybe someone can read it if they want to have any questions on it. So that's kind of where we are with him. Over the past few days, we got word that it was yesterday or today, I don't even remember anymore. We got word that Pennsylvania has become completely... it constituted. So we are now 12 states strong. Let me go count. 12. So Pennsylvania has been added. I am under the understanding that within the next week or so, we will have Vermont done, so we'll be 13. We will have Delaware done, so that'll be 14. I heard Colorado is going to be done within the next week and a half or two. So what's that, 12, 13, 14, that's 15. And I think I heard of one or two other states a little while back that we're going to be trying to get done by the end of the month or shortly thereafter. And hopefully that'll be the case. If we get to 17, then we are one-third of the nation, and that's pretty good. Now, I've been talking for quite some time, telling everybody, let's get out there and get your counties organized. Let's get them constituted. You don't have to file the paper, but let's go do it. And some people, of course, have responded, but some people haven't. And that's hurting the whole thing, the whole movement, ultimately, because there's power in numbers. And I made a note for tonight's meeting, hopefully, that we have at least one state coordinator for all of these 12 states and the other states that are about ready to turn, that they would be at tonight's meeting. And the reason being is that we want to do is to have these states get their unified seal. I meant to post that before tonight's meeting, but I got so involved with so many other things, I just never got around to it. But after tonight's meeting, I will go and create that seal, and I will put it up on the website under Juris Tab. And if you click on the Juris Tab and you go to the Documents page, on that Documents page, you'll also find a copy of the grand jury seal for your county. But I will also put a unified seal for your state. Every state should have one. Maybe at this point, the state coordinator should probably get it. And at some point, when the state is fully organized, the people will decide on who should hold that seal. And maybe it should change hands from time to time. I don't know. But someone should hold that seal. Probably the person with the most knowledge of the common law should be the person holding that seal. And so the people of the state are going to have to figure that out. But we want the state coordinators to do is to figure out who's going to make that order and get it done. I would like to have all 12 states and the other states that are anticipating being done. They should get their seal right now also. If they're going to, any state that's going to be done within the next 2 weeks, let's say, let's get your seals, get your unified seals. And then when you get it, I'm going to post a paper also up online. I'm trying to think what I might call it. I don't know, certified seal page. I'll let it be known in an email, and we'll talk about it on Monday again. But we'll call it something, and we will post that paper up on the Juris page. And basically, what it'll be, it'll just be a signature page, a place where you put the seal, and print that seal, and put a signature. Now, I would suggest, I have two signatures. I have one that I take my time with and I sign my name. And I have one because I do a lot of signing. I've been in business for a very long time, over 30 years. And I've just signed so many things. And I have a real quick signature, which usually I use most of the time anyway. Very rarely do I take my time with it. And it's really, it looks like a squiggle. It's three sig. It's it really three, my three initials, one on top of another, and on top of another. That's all it is, and it's my signature. And so when I sign a paper, nobody can read my signature. We do not print the names of the people on our papers, and I think it's wise never to do that because nobody needs to know exactly who is who, even the foreman. Especially right now with the problems in the court. Once we're in and things are going well, it's okay then if they know who the foreman is, but nobody else is to be known anyway. But if we're acting as a grand jury, and for a while we are acting as a grand jury until we get into the courts and until we bring our states under the control, anything dealing with getting the state under the control will be us as a jury, as a grand jury. But any other case, pretty much, we'll choose people out of the pool and get the grand jury going. It'll be changing at least every week or something like that, and we'll talk more about that later. But the point is that we want people to get the seal, the state seal, at least the 12 states right now and the other two coming up. So there's 14 seals. New York has one already. Get that seal. Drop down the page as soon as I get it up there and get the seal on that page. Make four pages. Make four copies and get four imprints on it and put a signature on it. And mail it to me. You can mail it to the address I have on the donation page. And Preferably don't fold it. I mean, if you have to fold it, fine. But get a large envelope and don't fold the papers. And when we're in court and fighting, we're no longer going to speak on just New York anymore, because really, we're going to start to prepare for the United States Supreme Court, and we're going to start an indictment process. If this judge does not go forward to do the right thing, we are going to indict him. And if we can't indict him in his own courtroom, because he'll refuse to have us in that courtroom, then sometime next week we will go for the indictment process. As a matter of fact, tonight we will take a vote on that. We'll assume the people here tonight, we have 139 people on the call at the moment, and we'll run a vote tonight to make an agreement nationwide, so to speak, as far as especially considering the states that have been constituted. And we'll come to an agreement, if we can, that we will indict this judge and every and any other judge that gets in our way from here to the United States Supreme Court. If this judge fails to do what he has to do, then our anticipation, and I can't say we're going to do this until we take the vote, our anticipation is we're going to indict him. And then we're going to do what we did to New York State judges. We're working on a list right now, and getting the list of every single federal judge in New York State in all four districts. If I recall, I think it was like about 150 or something like that. I'll find out in a minute. I'll get Kathleen. I'll unmute Kathleen shortly, and we'll talk a little bit. As a matter of fact, let me unmute her right now while we're talking. Kathleen, you're unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. How many judges was it for New York on the federal end, about with the magistrates? About 150 or something like that?
It's probably closer to 200.
Okay, 200.
Yeah,
Okay,
there's
so
38 in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few down the city.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just assume 200 for now. So there's about 200. I'm going to leave you unmuted for a minute or two, because I might have to ask a few questions of you. There's about 200 judges here in New York. So if this guy doesn't do the right thing, we are going to send out letters like we did to the judges in the state. Now, when we sent to the Supreme Court judges here in New York, we sent 11 pages because we want to make ourselves clear. And we did do, I think, one and a half or double space. I'm not sure whether we did double space, but we did at least one and a half space. And we printed on both sides, because I was trying to get the weight down. And it turned out to be 11 pages, which was literally six pieces of paper. I'll double check the weight on six papers. And that just went a little over an ounce. And a little over an ounce, then it costs you an additional 40 cents or 35 cents per letter or something like that. So we're going to draft a letter that's only six pages, and both sides, or maybe shorter, but definitely going to keep it under an ounce one way or the other, so that we only have to pay the 47 cents or whatever it is that costs to mail a letter these days. And you fold it and put it into a letter. So we're going to do this in New York. And we're going to send a letter out. But we're going to ask every state that has been already constituted, that has a seal, to take the very same letter and send it to every federal judge in their state. And we'll do this at the same time. And ultimately, what we're going to be doing is we're going to inform them of the law being broken and inform them they have a duty. And then we'll see once what they do. Okay? Now, this should get things really rolling when you have 14 states doing this, and any other state that's close by. I haven't looked at the states recently in the past 3 weeks or 2 weeks or so. So maybe some states are starting to move, or getting close, or we're working on counties. But let's get going. We need reinforcements. We need 26 states at least, if we can get. I've been complaining about this for a while, that people have got to get moving on getting constituted. This is the reason why. We're turning and we're looking for reinforcements, and we don't have enough. We'd be a lot stronger if we had 30 states on board right now, or about to go on board. But for some reason, some people are just sitting there, and they're not doing it. The state coordinators get moving. This is your job to make sure it gets happened, that this happens. There are some states that have state coordinators and nothing's going on. You know, give me a call, tell me you can't handle the job, and we'll need to look for someone else, whatever the case may be. But let's get this job done. It has got to get done. We need the help. We're going to win if we have the people behind us. This is a people thing. Only the people can save America. And to sit on the sidelines and wait is wrong, and you're hurting everybody by doing that. Let's move. Every person that is hearing this tonight or hears this on recording, because we're going to post this, look it. If you're in your county, call your state coordinator. Find out if your county has been constituted yet. If it isn't, make arrangements and do it now. Get it done now. Get on the record, and let's get the job done. If we have to go to Washington, it'll be a hell of a lot stronger if we had 30, 40, or 50 states all going to Washington with all the seals. It'll be a heck of a lot stronger than 12 or 14. So you see, we need it. You know, we haven't talked, and again, some of this stuff, we're not sure which way we're going to go until we got to certain places. Now we know exactly what we're going to do. We're expounding exactly the plan where we're heading from here. And so we're going to hit every federal judge if it takes in a nation to make them know. If you have a state that's almost completely unified, well, then that state also can at least start to, you know, we're going to have a special meeting and we'll get together with Kathleen, who's kind of getting the list of the judges. And matter of fact, Kathleen, do you want to explain to the people where they can get a list of the judges? And they should get that now and get that information together, especially the state coordinators in the states that have constituted or are about to be constituted.
Yeah, there's not one place you can go to and get an entire list. Except that I do have something. Okay, let me just tell you where this is. Villanova University School of Law has a page that is a resource, and it has all of the states by state, U.S. district courts, and then U.S. bankruptcy courts. They separate them out that way. So the first one is Alabama. Alabama has three districts, a middle, a northern, and a southern. And then you click on that, and it will take you to where you can get the list of the judges' names.
All right, what you might want to do is kind of write this down, get the links, get it in an email, get it to me, and then I'll blast it to everyone in the nation.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is I did find a spreadsheet that's 2 years old, so people are going to have to look in their state, and they're going to have to check the names and make sure there hasn't been any changes before they send them out. But it has every state, every federal judge, including international and whatever, by district. So it's on a spreadsheet. You can sort it by whatever field you want to sort it by, but you can get your state. And I think that's probably the best way to go. Then they just have to check and make sure the names are accurate and haven't been changed. But it has addresses, it has phone numbers,
it
has
everything. 24 hours. It probably wasn't even
done. Corey, you're coming over live here. You mute your mic. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kathleen.
So I think that's probably the best way to go, is if I send that Excel spreadsheet to all the state coordinators. And I'm just going to warn you, though, it's 2,234.
I hopped on it so quick. I knew what
Hello?
Yeah, Corey, we're on a you can't get into the call?
No, I couldn't. I called him.
Okay.
And said that was
all right. Mute your mic for right now because we're in the middle of a call, okay?
I apologize.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
Okay, it's 2,234 because it has every single federal judge, including international and bankruptcies and...
Yeah, we don't want the international. We don't want the bankruptcies.
I can't sort them out and remove them.
Oh, you can't? Not
no.
Even for New York?
Well, I can do that. I could, you know, sort it and select. But what I'm saying is we could send this document to everybody, and they can sort it the way they want to sort it and pull out the names they want.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's What we'll do is we'll get in more detail on Monday. We'll be a little more organized on this, and you and I will speak between now and then and get all the details and figure out the best way to go so people can pull this information, okay?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right. All right, I'll put you back on mute. And,
okay.
Let me see if I can find you here.
I'll mute myself.
Okay. All right, I think she's muted, but in any event. Okay. All right, so that's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to notify every judge in whatever states are constituted and or very close to being constituted. So come on, let's get these states done, please, and let's really do the business that's at hand. There's not much time left. I mean, just look to see what's going on. We all know this. Time is really short. So let's get this done. So once we go through this process and notify all of these judges, and we'll give them so many days, we'll figure out how much time we want to give them, but we're going to give them so many days to respond. And we'll make the response central. We'll think about that. We'll discuss this on Monday in more detail because we haven't gotten into the details exactly how we're going to do this. But we're going to give them so many days to respond. And if they don't respond in so many days, then it'll be a self-indictment. I'm not sure exactly what we want. Do we want to indict every single federal judge? Well, I think they would deserve it, to be honest with you. But we'll have to think about that, and we'll take a vote on that in the near future. But the only thing we're going to vote on tonight is do we agree that this federal judge getting in our way is going to be now indicted, if that's what we have to do. Even if we get into the court to indict him, we're going to pre-indict him, and then we'll let him know that he's been indicted, unless he does the right thing in the day in court, if we have our day in court. But I really don't think we're going to be in court. I don't think we have to be in court. I think all they have to do is sign the paper, and we need to move on. But if this doesn't happen and we do this with every federal judge, then our next step is Washington, D.C., and we're going to go to Washington. We're going to file the papers, and we're going to ask for them to sign the papers. If necessary, we'll literally go to Washington. And we'll see how that works out. But, again, I feel pretty confident, 90% confident, that we're going to get through it on a district level. And I feel very, very confident if we don't get there, we're going to get through on the U.S. Level, because we have been very careful to hold our jurisdiction, very careful in explaining exactly who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. And the real power is in the people and in numbers. We're not a group. We're not a couple of disgruntled people in a corner of some county or in a state. But we are the people in every state of the union, and X amount of states have constituted every county, and the rest are working behind that. I would like to hear from every state coordinator that hears this message tonight. I'd like to get a phone call from just one. If there's two or three state coordinators, work it out. Who's going to call me, or call me all three together? But get me. Call me up and tell me when your state is going to be done. Make a plan. You know, you can, if you got five or six people, if you can get five or six leaders in a state, I mean, with the exception of something like Texas, which is huge, okay? But most states, you can get four to six people, and in four to six people, they can, you know, pick a geographical area in the state and kind of set up on a Saturday or something, and all do it on the same Saturday. Get teams of two or three people and do all the counties through the whole state by six small groups going out and doing it. You make the invite to everybody in all the counties that you're going to be doing it. You tell them to bring family and friends, neighbors. You bring whoever you can to go. Definitely bring a. You need a notary when you do this because it's way too much paperwork. And you bring the paperwork for all the counties, and you get the newspapers out. You know, get the press release and all the newspapers. And and you meet and you get the job done. So you can find maybe 6 geographical areas or 8 geographical areas. You know what we did is we did 2 on a Saturday. Okay, we travel one and do it in the morning, and the other one in the afternoon. And again, that's another way you could do it. So, you know, 4 groups moving around, hitting 2 different geographical areas, so it's convenient for the other people not to travel too far. And you're hitting 8 points if you got 4 people, 4 groups working. But let's organize, let's get it done, make a plan, and call me and say, this is the state we're in, and we made a plan, and we're going to have it done on such a date. And don't put it out for a month. Put it out for a week away. As soon as you get the plan, put it out for a week away, and then work like a dog. Get it done. Get on the phones. Call. Don't send emails and think people are going to show up for anything, because they're not. You have to get them on the phone. You got to get them to verbally commit, and then you got to tell them before you get off, I'm counting on you. I'm really counting on you. And then you know what? The day before, you get all the people that claim that they're going to come, and you get on the phone, you say, hey, I got a couple of minutes, I'm making a lot of calls, I'm really counting on you. If you can't get them, leave it on a message machine. Hey, look, I just wanted to confirm for tomorrow. I'm really counting on you. It's important that you be there. It's important that we get it done. If you're not going to be able to make it, please give me a call, and you give me a number. You know, put them on the spot. Get the job done and get it over with, because we need you. If we go to Washington, we need as many states as we can, because that's the power and that's the authority, and they're not going to be able to back off on this. So let's do it. All right, let me move on. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. The paperwork we really feel very strong about. I'm going to start working on the paperwork over the weekend, maybe. Well, maybe I'll wait till Monday, because I got a lot of other things to do. We're working on the course right now. I'm getting ready. We're starting all the pages. And I think before the weekend's out, I'll have all the pages done. I'll be talking with the tech. I tried to get him today. I haven't got him yet, but I'm sure he'll call me tomorrow. Or we'll get on the phone. I'll talk with him, and I'll secure a price with this guy and see when he can get it done. And then we'll work from there about, you know, as far as getting the tech to do his work. Anybody that can afford to throw us a few dollars, we always need money. We just said there's not enough. We've had some generous people recently, and, you know, we're getting some things done and bills paid, but we still need more money. And again, you know, I'll tell you, if everybody really did their part and just threw in $5, if everybody just did that $5 a month, we'd have plenty of money to do everything. But everybody isn't doing it. So I don't know why. I mean, there are some people that $5 is a hard time. Maybe the thing, I've been there where $5 would have been too much for me, you know, some years back when I had some real hard times. But generally, most people can do that $5 thing. Those who could do more, please do more. Let's get this thing done. So we want to get the course up. I reset the tabs on the webpage. We have welcome, political news, essays and lectures. We changed that tab name. And then and under essays and lectures is still everything we've always had before, plus more, because we moved biographies over into that section. Let's see, and a few other things. And so another book, I believe. And we just moved some stuff over there. So the next tab, the new tab we put up, was called Common Law Courses. And if you click on that, there's really nothing on that page yet. But hopefully in the next week or two, all my work will be done by the end of the weekend, I think, or Monday. And then it's a matter of putting it over to the tech. I believe the tech can get the job done in a day or so. And so in theory, we can have, if we got the money, we can have it done next week. And we can have this course up and running. But we're moving on that. And this is probably our priority, is to get everybody educated and especially start to see these positions being filled for people intending on filling these positions as an administrator for their counties. There are 4 administrators every county, and the biggest cities, the larger populated areas are going to need more. Just get 4, and you'll figure it out as time goes on. Oh, goodness, we're going to need another 2 more. You'll figure it out, okay? And let's get it done. So anyway, that's the other thing we're doing. One other thing, this is planned for local, but anyone is welcome if people want to travel from wherever. You know, at some point, we had always planned that we would do some kind of a convention or something, a meeting somewhere, maybe in a couple of different places in the country so that people on the West Coast wouldn't have to travel so far and so on and so forth. But and eventually, we maybe will do that. But we're looking to do something local in New York, and we're inviting everyone for not this weekend, but for next weekend, the 7th. To come to a cookout, spend a day. We'll get the details. I'll put it in the email maybe tomorrow, what time it'll be, what the location, how to get there, and how long it's going to run for. But it'll be an all-day affair. And at first we were going to keep it kind of small, and I was going to do it out of my house. But then we realized, well, let's invite people from Jersey and Pennsylvania because they're close. They may want to come. And you know, people out in Connecticut and Maine and so on. And so we said, okay, we're going to have to do something, you know, where we can handle a little more people. And then we realized, well, we'll do it for anybody who wants to come, no matter where you want to come from. So we're going to announce it here tonight, and we're going to talk about it on Monday. Again, anybody who wants to come, not this weekend, but next weekend, the 7th, it'll be an all-day affair. It'll probably start at something like, I don't know, 10:30 in the morning or something. And it'll run through until evening. And it's a really nice place we found in the town of Clavering Rock. It's in New York. And I will put a web page where you can see the recreational area that we're looking to, that we already made the arrangements. We got the place. It's got a big pavilion. We can fit quite a few hundred people under that big pavilion. Then it's got, and we'll bring, you know, some other coverings, not tents, but canopies, I don't know, whatever you call them, you know, coverings. And anybody else that's got those things, they can bring it. We'll make a list of things that people might bring if they have it, just so we can, in case it rains, we have covering protection from the rain. But we'll pray for good weather. It's a beautiful place. Definitely want to bring your kids. You know, bicycle riding paths, there's roller skating areas, there's basketball, places to play ball, there's swings. So anything, you know, bring those kind of things, your kids with you, bring your bikes for the kids and let them have a good time while we get together and just talk about things. We'll have a few speakers and we'll have a cookout. That's what it's going to be, really, is a cookout. So anybody who wants to come can come. Again, it's in Clavering Rock. We'll get the details, the locations, and so on. And we're really hoping that everybody in the states close by will take the time to travel for the day on a Saturday and spend time with us, and let's just get energized. We got big things about to happen one way or the other, and we're definitely going to head out to Washington, D.C., if that's what we have to do. Let's hope we don't have to go there to get this job done, but if we do, I think we will. I cannot see. I've been looking at Supreme Court rulings half of forever. And I've seen some bad ones come out from time to time. You know, I look at the jurisdiction and I see why. Generally speaking, they've always been put out good stuff. And it's hard for them to come out with real bad stuff when they have a mountain of good stuff for 200 years coming through there. So, you know, the enemy clearly is in the United States Supreme Court. There's no doubt about it. And this is kind of Scalia's baby, I think. You know, there's no doubt he's going to recognize his work and what we're doing here. And I truly believe that he will yank this case in and get the job done. And I believe that they'll do it without us having to go there to make the argument. The case speaks for itself, and we're not looking to make an argument. We're the people. We're telling them what to do, sign the papers, and let us get into the courts. Let us do our job. And so... that's the next step from the federal, dealing with the district federal courts. I think that's about it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start taking questions. I want to stay on point. I only want to talk about this case. I only want to talk about potentially what we're going to be doing. If there are any questions maybe about this Saturday, we can probably answer a lot of questions. details of location and traveling and so on and so forth will be in the email tomorrow, and we'll post it up on the website. But we want to stay on point. What's going on in this case? We'll have our regular Monday meeting. We can get into other things if people want to speak off point a little bit. But anyway, we only have two callers in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue, now's the time to do it. Let's take 201. That's Jersey, probably Jason. Go right ahead.
Hi, it's Jason from New Jersey. John, I want you to also be able to indict any clerks, anyone, and sheriffs in your decree for indictments. That way we are we didn't knock down anyone that's in our way. We have shown 10 months of mercy and consideration, and it's time to take the gloves off and go after anyone who wants to be our adversary. They're there as our civil servants. They are AKA now uncivil disservants. And I just want to put this thing down, as to quote from First Blood from Rambo, they drew first blood. We have always been trying to be honorable, and they have shown their repugnancy to us. And I want to make sure that we, when we go in there, if on the court case, that we are active. And New Jersey will be there for getting our seal. We're behind you, John, and New York, 100%, and we'll be up there with our people for your event on the 17th, because we need to see each other live and as three-dimensional people. And anything that you need from New Jersey will be there for you.
All right, well, let's look at the people we've indicted, the people that are in our way. We have 11 judges here in New York under indictment, and this federal judge may make the 12th. We have, I believe it's three clerks under indictment. So we have a total of 11, 12, 13, 14 people under indictment. And again, this judge may be the 15th. And we may have to consider, you know, indicting a lot of federal judges. I don't know. I think what we'll do is we'll send out to New York judges first, and then the other states, once we get the seals in, we'll start pushing them to send out to their judges. And we're going to work this together. In other words, mm-hmm. when we talk to the court, whether we talk to the court in New York, it's going to be 12 states, not just New York. New York will be leading, but it'll be 12 states. If it's
right.
being done in Jersey, then Jersey will be leading, but it'll be 12 states. And when it's done in PA, PA will be leading, but it'll be done in 12 states. Now, I understand California is very close. California, you got a lot of people. You can get this job done in a week and a half, 2 weeks, if you really put your mind to it. And later, you got people in 47 of your 58 counties. You actually have people living in those counties, and you have quite a few now. You got at least three, maybe four state coordinators. Other people step up, help these coordinators, and get it done in California. You got over a couple of hundred people working in California. Let's get the job done there. So anyway, you know, we got these people indicted. I don't want to indict a sheriff. They're just too dumb. They have no clue what they're doing. They're not really guilty of anything. You know, there has to be intent, and they're being told what they think is right. They believe the statutes of law. They're as dumb as we were. Okay, at least we're getting a little smarter because we're studying and we're figuring these things out. Unless the person actually gets in our way, okay, unless the person actually gets in our way, then we got to take them down. But other than that, you know, it doesn't make any sense at this point to chase sheriffs. But once we're in,
well,
the sheriff doesn't do what has to be done, we're going to yank them from office. Yeah.
Well, let me just say it. If someone is not doing their job, just by their statutes and codes, they're indictable in the state of New Jersey and other
states.
Well,
again, you know, they have to be getting in our way, preventing us. No sheriff is preventing us from getting in. They're too dumb to see and figure out that people...
But they're not helping you.
Judges. But they're too stupid. They can't figure out that the law is being broken because they don't know what the true law is. They don't understand what's really going on. And then we had this one sheriff that was willing that I think, I know this judge, this one lieutenant or whoever he was, the investigator for the sheriff, because he had some law background in him, he understood. And he says, yeah, we'll work with you, but we got to get the prosecutor. We can't go on our own. And that's when I realized, when I went to talk with the prosecutor and listened to what they had said at the sheriff's department, I put it together, and I realized, damn, the sheriffs can't arrest anyone, because if they, whoever they arrest, the prosecutor's not going to prosecute. He's going to let them go. Because
well,
they're
again,
all protecting each
but
other's
again,
behind.
The thing is that if you have an affidavit, affidavits from the people who are filing, and he doesn't file them, then he's indictable. And
right,
the real
we'll
thing here
that.
That
we'll
there's no
the
order.
State. Okay, we'll be on the state at this point anyway. We were looking into that, and there's the wrong people to go after. The right people to go after are the judges. There's no doubt in my mind. I have no hard feelings about these judges that we've indicted. I have no hard feelings that they did life imprisonment. I would not feel bad one iota. That's not going to be our decision. That's going to be the jury's decision. That's going to be chosen. It's going to be people. And if they get life in prison, I'm good with that. If they get 20 years in prison, I'm good with that too. I'll let the people decide whatever that's going to be. But I don't think the sheriffs deserve that at this point. And I don't think the clerks deserve it.
The clerks are the first realm of defense of stupidity. I mean,
right. Well,
we got three clerks.
We got three clerks under indictment. They prevented us from going on. The federal clerks have not prevented anything. They've done their job. The state clerks, we had three of them that we indicted, and I think would be fair for them is a couple of years in prison. You know, I think the law calls from anywhere from 1 to 3 years, particularly for them not doing their job, and I'm good with that. So, you know, whatever that would be. The judges, different story. They're criminals. They're guilty of conspiracy. They're guilty of high treason. The clerks are just dumb. They are guilty of high treason, but they're really just dumb. Law is intent. Just realize that. Okay, when you study common law, it's all intent. You know,
right.
If you accidentally kill someone, you don't go to jail for manslaughter. It's dumb. Not how common law works. An accident is an accident. But here in this country, you know, in here in the United States, let me tell you, people go to jail for manslaughter, 5 years or whatever it is, and when it's just an accident. Okay? Crime requires intent. You have to intend on doing something. Okay? So these people are not guilty of intent. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time with it, but this will be something maybe debated by the groups as we go on. But I would suggest very strongly we study the common law and understand and match together, you know, justice and mercy and realize and the key thing is intent. That's the key thing. So let's look for that.
I just want another point, and just for people to know, there is the International Common Law Grand Jury. And
has
they're
nothing
looking
to do with
for
us.
International sheriffs, and everybody wants to become an international sheriff as a voluntary. That will help us because they'll be helping to educate us as being sheriffs, which is the
yeah. But that's not America though. That's those international things is way out of our realm of the Constitution. You know, look, if we're the Union, we are the United States of America. We have a constitution. We have a contract with every state. You know, international, we don't have that kind of a contract with that kind of a law. We don't, and we don't know. You know, a lot of judges in the state, and old lawyers, they think common law is the common. What they think it is a collection of judges' decisions, and they even bring, you know, regular Supreme Court cases in that are not appellate divisions. And they'll use them. I've seen it done in the federal court just recently, as a matter of fact, where a district court decision, which was all BS. They don't have the authority to make the decisions. This is supposed to be doing the right thing. If you're going to quote an authority, you got to quote the appellate decision. You got to quote, particularly and most importantly, the United States Supreme Court, which is the power to trump all courts except the court of record. And a court of record is one is a court that decides things by the jury. That's a court of record. The United States Supreme Court cannot overturn a decision of a court of record unless the individual's rights were violated by that court of record. That's very rare, but that could happen, and so they're on the watch for that, and they should be. That's the only authority they have to ever. overstep. So if a trial jury, if we were to trial these judges and the trial jury decided the death penalty, even the United States Supreme Court can't overturn that. That's got to happen.
True that.
That's up to the people. And again, you know, we have to consider intent, we have to consider mercy, and we have to consider justice. But when I see evil, I have no problems agreeing and appreciating the worst things upon them for a judgment for the evil. There are a lot of evil people involved with this. They know exactly what's going on, and they're responsible for the destruction of our nation. So anyway, I don't want to get into those things. That has to be discussed and decided by the actual juries, and that's not really our business. So,
well,
anything else? Let's stay focused. What we're doing, let's stay focused. Anything else? If not, there's got a lot of calls.
No, I view that if we can't get this resolved through the federal court and everything, that we need to start filing in papers and putting affidavits out against the people violating our constitutional rights and our inalienable rights.
Well, we're going to stay on point. Right now we have a case, and we're going to pile on this case. And we're going to go through the federal district judges. That's our targets, to see if we can get one of them to obey the law. And we're going to move right up to the United States Supreme Court.
Point of information. I looked up New Jersey. New Jersey has three districts: Newark, Trenton, and Camden. And we really don't have that many people in that. I think Newark is the largest.
Let me just add on one other thing about that. You know, when I did the 300 judges, it cost me 70 cents per letter. So 300
right.
times 70 cents. And then, of course, the envelopes, and it was 11 pages on each. So it was six papers, you know, because we printed both sides. So it was 11 pages, six papers. And so that weight just went over that ounce, and, of course, 70 cents a piece. And it took a lot of time to run off, to print all those letters, you know, those letters off. And we did labels. So we put the names of the judges and labels on every paper, and then, of course, we put them on the envelope, and then, of course, we put the label for the Unified Common Law Grand Jury. And whoever does the unified, seal, you're going to want to get a post office box and call it, your state unified, for instance, for us, it was Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury. So for you, it's Unified Your State Common Law Grand Jury. And get a P.O. box. And this way you have a return address. And you should have a fax number. You can go up and join into the service. Everybody pretty much has fax numbers, or you can get a fax number up online through our services. So, it's going to cost a few dollars. In our case, I think it's 47 cents to send a piece of mail, so 0.47 times 200, okay, that's $100, $94 or something like that. So it's going to cost you about $100 in mailing, and probably another $30-$40 in envelopes and papers and toner. So it's $150 and a day's worth of work. We in New York can't do it all to all the states, so each state that's involved will have to do it themselves.
Well, that's idyllic, because each state is responsible for its own service.
And we will.
New York, you're setting out the policies, or actually the litigation for us, and we should be.
All you'll have to do is take papers, and send it in from you. We'll write the papers all up, so you'll have to print them out, and you'll make a few changes. We'll tell you what the changes according to your state. You'll have your seal first, and then all of our states have to send you a copy of our seal, too, so you can attach it to the back. And it will be focused in on the New York court, federal court. Remember, federal court is federal court, so it doesn't matter which state you're in. But the bottom line is the case is being taken place here in the 3rd District here in New York, and that's going to be what we're going to be talking about in the letters to your judges in your states, what's going on in New York, that New Jersey's behind, and it affects this state, and we want it done, guys.
That's a point. Now, I'm hearing, like, you want to send it out to the federal court districts, which really is about maybe about 35, 40. And then you want us to send this to the regular magistrates?
No, that's gone. The state is irrelevant at this point.
All right, so we're just going to the 3 districts for for our filings. We send out your paperwork and with our seal.
We will have a meeting on this next week sometime in the middle of the week. We'll call all the state coordinators. Anybody can come to this meeting, but particularly the state coordinators from the specific states. We need to make sure that they're there. And we will get into the details, and we'll write the letter by then, and we'll talk about it. But let's see. Maybe we won't even have to do that. Let's see what happens in court by Monday.
Well, I wish everyone has...
Let me move on, though. There's other people.
But... All right. Thank you very much. God bless. Thank you so much. And we will not be deferred.
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Next call, Anonymous. Go right ahead. And in a few minutes, as soon as we go through these callers, we're going to take a vote. But
John, this is Shelley up here in Herkimer County.
How you doing, Shelley?
Sorry we were late. I guess we used the wrong code to get on the call, so I missed the first half hour. Listening to everything and talking to everybody, I want to read something very brief. I want people to know that we are having divine help, and this specifically states about the common law. Please, I want to read this. A grand series of events is now occurring around your globe. These events mark the beginnings of certain critical projects that are to bring you freedom, sovereignty, prosperity, and new governance. Our liaisons report that several groups, which comprise our Earth allies, are moving to push the dark cabal and its minions from power. Included in these projects are the means to exponentially expand a nation-by-nation common law network, and projects which tie this network into a means to forge new governance around your globe. The prosperity projects are also readying the delivery systems that are to be the basis for declaring Nazara to come into effect. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Nazara.
Where are you reading that from?
It's from sources that I keep in contact with because of my experiences in life. John, I have already crossed over into the other realms, and I'm very spiritually connected.
Lord willing, we will be successful.
Anyway, these events get ready to surface. We are preparing to put a formal stop to an international conspiracy that has made the spraying of chemtrails a nearly daily occurrence.
Okay,
I want to
stay on point. Okay, when they
brought up the common law network, they're helping us. Do you follow me?
I understand that. Believe me, I talk to a lot of people, not just throughout the country here, throughout our nation, but literally throughout the world. I get calls from all kinds
of people. And it's going to end up in a slew of mass arrests.
Listen, I understand that, what you're saying, but I don't know that I could believe that. Look, we're going to trust in the Lord that it is His will that we're going to be successful.
This is by divine heaven decree.
I understand. Listen.
I hope people understand we are not alone in this universe.
Okay, hold on 1 minute, please. Look, what we are doing, in my opinion, I believe what we are doing is God's will. Main reason is because we're standing up for justice. And we understand the word justice is synonymous, with virtue. It's a biblical principle, and it comes from the Bible. And when you get into and looking at justice and looking at a virtue, and ultimately it just reeks of what we teach all the time, a sense of honor, a sense of mercy, and a sense of justice. So we believe we're doing the right thing. Now, we don't know what God's will is. I've had people call me and tell me they know what God's will is, and we're going to do this or he's going to do that. And I've been involved with that for many, many years. I've heard a lot of people say those things. I believe the likelihood is we're going to be successful. But maybe God has some kind of other plan. Nevertheless, we need to be attentive to this job right now that we're doing.
Well, that's all part of it.
Blessings. This is where we'll be under the blessings of the Lord, by doing his will, standing up for righteousness, and no matter what happens, I believe he's going to protect us. I believe that in my heart because
He is.
So, but how that happens and how the details, that's another thing. Now, I will tell you, I talk to a lot of people who tell me all about these international things and all these. I don't believe half of what's going on, and I happen to know some of it is just BS, but I can't say this is or that is or that isn't or that is. All I know, we have to focus in on what we're doing. If America is the key to the world as far as bringing justice to the world, America is that key. We know that because of what God had did in this country 200 years ago when he raised up our founding fathers and brought to us ultimately a government by man without a king but God himself. See, God is our king. And this was a biblical principle. That mistake was made. They went after an earthly king in the days of Saul. And they paid dearly for that. Everything, Israel got burnt really bad. God really beat them up bad, beat up Israel bad. And a lot of problems took place because of the kings. Now, when it came to England, they made the mistake again. They chose a king to keep the sovereignty of the people. And again, look what happened there. They have an opportunity to you know, because they're pretty well, they still have common law pretty strong in the country, but they also have the same problems we have. But in America, okay, we have a place where we knew, and George Washington even said, you know, I'll never be the king because they want him to be the king. That's not what we're about. That's not what we created. You see, God is the king. When you get into common law, it's natural law. God is the king. And
the universal law.
By God. And it's the people that we work through by doing the right thing, being godly, like what we're doing right here, going through the process of the grand jury, being as godly as we can, standing for righteousness, standing for, you know, a sense of justice, honor, and mercy, and doing the right thing and bringing justice back into the courts. You see, now God will be ruling if we're successful there. So whatever that will is, it is. But I'm not going to count, and we should never count on what the other people are doing in other nations. Now, we have 6 or 7 countries that want to participate with us, and we're going to facilitate them if we can ever get up the money. Until we get up the money, we can't facilitate them because they just haven't got the money to do what has to be done. So, but if that money comes in, and that's God, I believe that'll be God's will, and we'll do it. We're waiting for monies for other things first before we do monies to do that.
God knows that we're doing what we can, as you know, power in numbers.
Right. Well, again, you know, it's his, you know, we just got to pray his will be done and trust that. Well, here's one thing that's in the Bible. All things work together for good to those who believe in the Lord, period. So no matter what you do, sometimes bad things happen, sometimes good things happen, but the end results, it's for the good of you. And, you know, you have a child that's
growing up. Good of all of humanity.
They got to get a whooping or they got to get punished for something, and they're not too happy about it, but in the long run, it's for the good of the child. I have self-control of myself as a human being, and I reflect back to my childhood because of that. My parents were strict, okay, and I was kept in under control, and that taught me that I had to control my own behavior. When I became a man, and I control my own behavior. So,
I agree.
Anyway. All right, anything else?
I just wanted to pass that on, that we are having help.
Absolutely, we agree with that. That's the main thing. The details I'm not too sure about, but as long as we're doing the right thing, that's the only thing we need to be doing.
Well, as long as we do no harm, and then we're taking our power back the best we can.
Okay, I agree. All right, let me move on to the next call. We've got a lot of people, and I don't want to...
Okay, John.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, 718.
Hi, John. Good evening. It's Sarah in Florida.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure to let you know I had sent you a reply to your email that was blasted out this evening in regards to a clip discussing how to respond through common law to return in regards to them trying to put a filing fee. So it's like
I'll
30
look for it.
The middle. So just it might help in the process, but in any case, you're absolutely correct that they tried to throw the grand jury into plaintiff instead of the tribunal situation that they are.
And by paying the filing fee brings us into a whole new jurisdiction when it comes to the federal court. State courts are too dumb to even figure that part out, but the federal courts, they know exactly what they're doing. So we're not going to pay that fee. And I think the paper is strong enough for him to realize. And we, you know, we're going to talk, well, we're going to talk in a minute about taking a vote on this guy, but we're going to give, you know, one last chance to the guy, I think. We're going to talk about this. Well, I might as well talk about it right now. I think what we need to do is send him a final letter. If we don't hear anything on Monday, then we need to send him a final letter and making it clear to him that he's understand that, you know, he mentioned that we're some group. We're not a group or anything of that nature. We are the people. And just so that you know, we are the people, and this is a lot bigger than what you realize, here's the 12 states right behind us, or the 14 states, or whatever we end up with seals at that time to send that final letter to say, now you understand this. We're talking about every single county of New York, and we're talking about every single county of all these other states, and there are other states coming on board very soon, and this is a national movement, and we anticipate that the nation should be done in the next few months. So we're pretty close to being done anyway. So that's kind of the final thing, because really we don't want to have to go to Washington unless we have to. We need to put the pressure on. And power is in numbers, and if we put the seals together and put it to them with this final thing and let them know what the end result is, we, the people, have decided to indict you. But this is the last call. This is the last. We're giving you, you know, we're giving you the, what do you call it, the one more opportunity, okay, an olive branch. And you got 48 more hours or 24 more hours. Do the right thing. Well, that's it. Then we're moving on from there. So that's what I'm going to suggest we do. We'll take a vote on that in a minute. Let me get through these callers so we can take that vote. Anything else?
No, just speed on everything. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to try to move on quick, and I want to stay on point so we can get the vote because we're starting to lose people. 845-522, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing, John?
Good. How are you doing?
It's Sheila.
Sheila.
I'm
yes.
Orange.
Yep.
Yes, I have one thing to say. With Shelley, hi Shelley, I heard what you had to say, and I do know that there are what you call Palladians, and they're there, and they're lined up, and they're not playing. And also, there have been so many deterrents. It's not even funny. But I want to say to all, don't be deterred, because this, right, what John, Darash, Gerald, Kathy, everybody involved, please follow them, because it comes from the Palladians. It comes from God. It comes from everything that is right for humanity. And you can box it, you can separate it, you can put it into many categories. But the real deal is right now we're at the end game. And there are no jokes. It's no time to waste. John emphasizes that constantly. And that's why these guys are putting together, they sit up. I mean, these papers are phenomenal, what they're presenting to them. No one in the history since we've been kidnapped has done this. So it's coming from such a higher source, whether it be the Politians, because they are there, Shelley. You're right. They're not playing. And neither should the people. We're tired. We're worn out. We've been robbed. And now it's time to take the country back. Period. Nothing else. So right now, everyone needs to concentrate on National Liberty Alliance. These people are the only people in this whole wide world that is bringing reality to you, bringing it in your face right there. You can see it. You can smell it. You can taste it. You've seen how you've been robbed. So only thing I got to say is please put your efforts into this movement, whatever you want to call it, but it's lawful. It's past legal. And to law enforcement and everybody wearing that uniform, you see what is going on with people who are taking that uniform off. You see what are happening to veterans. You're going to be a veteran one day.
I hate to cut you off or anything, but we've got to get going because we're losing people, and I want to get the vote before people get out of here. Okay? And we do have about 4 more callers. So try
well,
to
God
tie
bless
up.
Everyone. Please okay, take so. This very serious because I appreciate everything you guys have done. I thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Okay, next caller, 352. Again, let's keep it short because we got to get the vote before we get out of here. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. It's Michelle. John, I have a thought as to helping you out. What if we take that the flyers that you're addressing, and what if we also, as state coordinators, what if we send some of those flyers like to our state governors?
Which flyers are you talking about?
The flyers that you were just talking about that you wanted us to share. And to hand out.
Oh, you mean with the one that you said you still had
to work on it to
yeah,
help
that,
you with
that's
the
gonna be, that. That's going to be letters to judges, and the letters is really going to put them on notice that crimes are being committed, and they have a duty to do something about it. And if they don't do it, then they're violating their oaths. And their duty, and therefore they'll be in bad behavior, and in bad behavior they can't hold office no longer. So that's what we're going to be doing. So that'll be just the judges at this point.
Okay.
But we don't want to alert anybody in the political realm for any assistance because, generally speaking, they're the enemy. They are the problem.
Well, I agree. I'm agreeing with you. I'm trying to think of a way as to what you're doing on that level, but then I'm also trying to think at another level, in other words, as giving them a heads up. Because like you were saying, you know, we have to prove intent in order to make a claim.
Right, and it's very simple. You know, the judges have a duty to protect the Constitution and to protect the people, especially the federal judges. They have a really big duty. They're the ones that are the keepers of the contract, and it is up to them. The Constitution guarantees us a constitutional Republican government. That's what it guarantees every state of the Union. It's an absolute guarantee. It's written in the Constitution, and we're calling them on that. We have lost that. We have lost control. We have people, all these judges that keep moving us into a different jurisdiction and hijacking our court, and we're done with it. We're tired of it. We're telling you it's happening. Do something about it, or you're part of that problem, and we'll indict you too. So that's the message to them.
Well, and I agree. I want to help you the best I can by getting that out and spreading the word. And I'm trying to
What we're going to do is we'll have a special meeting next week.
Okay.
So think about it. We're going to get some information out, and we'll talk a little bit about it on Monday. But we'll set up for an actual meeting with the movers and the shakers that really are going to be involved in this part of the process. And everybody's involved. Everybody's invited. I'd love to have 3,000 people show up, but that's not going to happen, unfortunately. But we do definitely want the states that have constituted. They have to be there. They have to be represented. They have to be.
I'm fixing to send you some money. I'm going to order 100 of the flyers that you put up in reference to the handbook. I'm fixing to send you a check. Now, when I make that out, do I make that out to TradeWinds, or can I make that out to you?
Yeah, no, make it out to TradeWinds. If it goes to me directly, what happens, it becomes an IRS problem. If it goes to the company, I never report anything. I don't know nothing.
In reference to the money to help you out with what you're asking for, do you want me to do that also to TradeWinds?
Well, yeah. Yeah, same thing. And you'll find that under donation, and the other one you'll find under for the ordering handbooks.
Correct.
But you can put them both in the same envelope. A lot of people, if you're looking to do $5 a month, you can do that through the credit card, if that's what you're looking to do.
Well, I was okay because that's what I need clarification on. I have the address and the in reference to TradeWinds, in reference to the flyers, and then the donations, that's what I just needed clarification on as far as the donations.
The donation could either go through the mail or it could go through a credit card or, anybody got PayPal, you could do a PayPal thing.
Well, I actually was going to send it to you personally, but that's what I was at. I don't really want to use PayPal.
Oh, yeah, no, then you could
That's what I'm saying. Can I just mail it directly? And it would be at that same address?
Same address. If you look at the bottom of the donation page, it gives a place to send check or money order, and it has the same address there.
Okay, that's all I need a clarification on. Take my vote. I'm for you. I think you hit it right on the nose as far as the indictment goes. So you got my vote.
All right. What I'm going to do, I appreciate it. Let me move on to the next. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to empty out the queue for right now.
Sure.
So everybody's going to be unmuted. Actually, everybody's going to be muted, but you'll be able to unmute yourself in order to take a vote. We're going to go through this real quick, and then I'll go back to queue, and we'll open up the queue so the people in the queue can come back. Okay?
Okay, no problem.
So let me do that.
Right. Okay.
Let me just... Okay, everybody's muted. Please stay muted for a moment. And I just emptied out the queue. Anybody who wants to get it back into the queue, we're going to go back there in a minute. But I do want to get this vote before we lose any more people. Okay, and this is how the best way to do it is this way. Anybody who is against indicting this judge, should he not obey, they should open their mic and give us your first name and tell us you're against it. And we'll see how many people might be going that way. I'm going to be silent for 10 seconds, and if nobody pipes up, then we'll look at it being unanimous.
I'm against it provisionally.
Okay, we've got one. Okay, so we got one person out of 96 that are left right now on the call. So we will go forward for an indictment on a national kind of a level. In other words, at least from we can only do this from the states that are totally constituted at this point. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I thought I had to press star something in order to get on.
We're going to go back into the queue. We're going to go back into the queue. But if you got a question, you can ask it right now.
Well, I've been been doing. I went to a seminar on Tuesday, and it was about the Erie Railroad Company versus Tompkins. And I did some preliminary research before I went to that seminar on Tuesday morning. It was for lawyers, but it was open free to the public. That's why I went. Anyhow, what I found out is that the original Judiciary Act of 1789, Section 34 specifically, that is actually quoted in the Erie Railway, which was a New York company, versus Tompkins. Tompkins was a fellow here in our area. He was from Luzerne County. Anyway, what it boils down to is that the original wording of the Federal Judiciary Act by Oliver Ellsworth in 1789 was tweaked. Somebody had crossed out some very important information that I think you need to know.
Okay.
Okay. I'm putting together a PowerPoint presentation, and I'm just about finished with it, and I'm going to upload it in just a few minutes.
All right. Maybe you can send me an email, and I'll go take a look.
I will do that.
Okay. Then if you want, we could talk some more on Monday then on it, okay?
Would you prefer I send it to your Skype or
Email? Do it on Skype, and then
we can
talk on
it
on Monday, at the Monday meeting, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, let's go back into Q&A. So we'll finish off the evening in Q&A. Anything, you can get back into Q&A now, and we'll go forward. But at this point, we have one person that has gone against that of, at the time, I think we had 99 people or 96 people. So we're going to go forward with it. 801, you're next. Go right ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So the concern I have, and I'm the one that voted and not actually constituted, is that if the federal government and probably most states do have maybe a hidden or hard to figure out absolute way that any private person has a right to have a grand jury convened, and they can, as a public prosecutor or private attorney general, act in the same way that a attorney for the government or attorney general can with the grand jury and have access.
Right.
If that does in fact exist, is that something that should be tried and tested and proven to not actually be there before enforcing the common law grand jury elected the way that
well,
it's
when the
done?
Common law when the common law grand jury finally gets seated in the courts, okay, anybody can bring anything to the grand jury. They will bring it through the administrators who will be there to facilitate for the grand jury. They will be there as the investigative body. Let's say you get a group of people or even just one person who has been doing a lot of investigating on a situation, and they see a lot of really bad things and they want to get it before the grand jury. And let's say they've done a lot of investigating. And we talk with them and we see that they're realistic and they're real. You know, they've been doing their homework. We'll suggest to them, well, if there's any, government offices you want to get into, you want to ask people questions to finish off and round off your work, we'll help you with that. And they may say, yeah, I'd like to get in to talk with these people in this office. And if that person doesn't have three other people working with them, then we'll send some of the administrators to fill that gap, because it should always be four people going into an investigation. Reason for that is paragraph 61 of the Magna Carta. And so that's where we got the four from. So they go in and they finish off their investigation, and that person who was leading that whole thing, he's as much as anybody else, as me or you or anyone else that's an administrator. We will then call the grand jury together. If you can't work out an agreement to deal with that problem, then we've called the grand jury together, and he'll play prosecutor and producing his case to the grand jury, and the grand jury will decide whether they're going to indict or not. And if they indict, then it goes forward to a trial court, And if that person is capable and wants to even prosecute it on that end, we'll permit that too, of course, because you do want someone who's qualified to do that, though. But at least bringing the case up and get it for the grand jury, anybody can do that. That must be open to the people at all times. You know, it's not just the four administrators that do something special. I mean, first of all, it is true that they'll have the opportunity to be looking at these things every day, and they'll be getting a salary for it, and you know, and so on and so forth. But anybody can bring charges up against anybody, and if they're valid, then, you know, they go before the grand jury, and the grand jury is going to decide what they're going to do with it. So if that's what you're talking about, that's how it's going to be with us.
The way that I see the status quo grand jury is not that it is not a common law grand jury.
It's not.
It's just a common law grand jury that has corrupt puppet strings attached to it.
Right.
But...
Well, it's not even a common law grand jury at all. Hold on. It's not the juries that are in place right now are corporate juries. They work for a corporation, and during their time period as a jurist, whether it's grand jury or trial jury, and they obey the corporate charters. They don't obey the Constitution because the judge decides the law, and they get only to decide the facts, and everything could be tweaked for that. The prosecutor takes total control over these people when they come in. Like that old saying says, you know, these prosecutors say that they can indict a ham sandwich. It's true, because these people are naive. They have no clue. They're led around like with a ring in their nose, and they obey. And they wouldn't be there.
However, if that prosecutor is you, because you have a RICO claim or a civil rights claim, where the federal statute gives you common law jurisdiction unless the regular statutes assist you in the same way, and you have the right to be that, and you have the right to a jury trial, because Rule 6 has a lot of things that make it sound like the common law or the grand jury has been replaced with all of these rules. However, down in the notes, it points to a policy, and it says this policy is not overridden, and the policy is that if you have a right to a jury, you have a right to a grand jury and a petite jury, both equally.
A grand jury
and
a what?
If you are that private attorney general, and there isn't another private attorney general prosecuting the case, and you have an absolute right to do that, and you've been appointed by legislative code to be that, and
There's no code that controls that part of the process. Look at, you know, when the grand jury indicts, we pass it on to the prosecutor. And as long as we feel confident that prosecutor is going to do his job, if we think that there's a conflict of interest, if we see that he's still too barish, capital B, capital A, capital R, then we might want, in certain cases, we're not going to give to that guy. We'll want to get a special prosecutor. Maybe if you want to call him a private attorney general, whatever you want to call him, but that person, whoever that is, has to be a qualified individual approved by the state. Nah, not at all. No, the state doesn't get to approve anything at all.
No,
they
what I'm saying is
place.
The legislature has pre-approved.
Legislators
you
don't
have
get
to
approve it. Nope. Legislators don't get a part of this also. No, they don't. This is a people thing. If a person
no,
is
what
qualified,
I'm saying is that they've approved it. They've approved it by enforcing common law specifically.
They don't approve nothing. They must enforce common law. That is true. You're right on that. They must enforce it because we the people have determined that.
I used the wrong word. You're right.
Yeah. We the people have determined that and ordered them to enforce it, and that's their job. And when they don't enforce it, now they're in bad behavior and they should be removed from office. And that's true with a politician or a judge. They serve as long as they're in good behavior. Good behavior is obeying the law. We've told them what the law is, and it's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and, of course, it extends even to the Holy Bible and even the Magna Carta and Supreme Court rulings, U.S. Supreme Court rulings particularly. So it all stretches to that. But we have not given any authority to them to decide on some kind of rules or anything that, to my knowledge anyway, of what we might call a private attorney general or a special prosecutor. No, anybody
so common law,
that is qualified
so,
to do that
so
can do that.
The term private attorney general is just the term that judges have applied to the common law prosecutor.
Right. I've heard this this phrase before, and I'm not too sure too much about it, private attorney general, but I've accepted at least at this point that it has something to do with someone coming in as potentially as a prosecutor.
Well, I can explain it really quick, because attorney generals and public prosecutors didn't exist when we had the Fifth Amendment applied. It was private people who would prosecute cases through the grand jury, and they'd use their own money and so forth. And it became, under the same terms that you get an appointed attorney to represent you if you're defending yourself, that's the same way that these came about, is that they were, because people didn't have enough money to prosecute their criminal cases through the grand jury, they started using these public prosecutors. But there's never been a time where these public prosecutors replaced the private prosecutor or took that away. It's just hard to find. You have to see the code where wherever an attorney general is in the code, or a attorney for the government or attorney for the state and so forth, it's applying that to this title that doesn't necessarily only apply to the attorney general or the public prosecutor. It also applies to the private prosecutor in all of the ways that in common law, you could do that when our country was founded.
Right, so what you're saying is, I'm not too sure, but I think what you're saying is what I'm saying, and that is that a private attorney general doesn't have to have an approval by the legislature.
Right. A private attorney general, if it's a case that has to do with general public interest, so there are a few qualifications. That one, you have to be a victim of the crime, directly or indirectly, and you also have to be defending a case that is a general public interest case. So it can't be just a particular class. It has to be, for example, public corruption is always a general public interest claim. So if you have a claim for racketeering in government, or if you have a claim that there is government deprivation of rights, the federal statutes allow you to make a civil claim, but that civil claim is kind of on hold. If you demand a grand jury, the grand jury is going to look into your allegations, and if they find an indictment, now you get attorney's fees, a minimum of $90 an hour. As soon as the first thing is granted in your case, so as soon as you win any approving order of any sort, you start getting $90 an hour because you're getting paid attorney general fees for prosecuting a claim in general public interest. It's the same way that it worked a long time ago.
I got to do homework on that. I haven't really had the time. Maybe you can give me a call sometime, maybe next week or something, and you can educate me a little more and give me some literature or something, you know, that I can do some research, whatever research you have on that, so I can look into these things and come to an appreciation. Because I really can't comment particularly. All I know is one thing. You know, if let's take these judges who were indicted. There's no way in the world we're going to allow any of these bar attorneys, particularly the existing prosecutors, to prosecute the case. Because we can't trust them.
Particularly because bar certified attorneys are officers of the court. So it's an overreach of separated powers.
That's absolutely true. And we have to think about that. We're definitely not going to allow judges to continue in the bar. That's for sure. If lawyers, people want to be a lawyer and they come in, they'll lose every case if they stick to the bar rules, because once common law is in place, they're just never going to win. And you know, the bar is just going to fall away eventually just from lack of interest of people who want to go out and make a living. But as far as the beginning with the prosecutors, I haven't thought of really about them being the bar attorneys and being a prosecutor. I think it's something we really got to think about, whether we can allow that to continue or not.
Yeah. The main problem is that nobody ever demands a grand jury. They just demand trial juries.
But the same right that you have to demand.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of problems. All the juries, look at, here's the sad truth. And I don't know how much, well, look at, here's the sad truth. There hasn't been a legal case convicted in the United States in a long, long time. Every one of these cases that someone's been convicted, whether it's been of murder or just driving without a license or any simple thing or any horrible thing, there hasn't been a case that has been done correctly in a long, long time, my lifetime. And I don't care what level you're at, because all of these grand juries and all of these trial juries are puppet juries. They are controlled by a corporation. They're paid by a corporation. They are corporate juries, and so it's all illegal. All of it is illegal.
And the number one reason why
that could pose a major problem at some point in the future.
Yeah, and the number one reason why this was allowed to happen is because common law is not taught in schools at all.
Right, and we're going to bring it back to schools.
Yeah,
absolutely. So.
Yeah, so I definitely need to talk to you later.
Yeah, give me a call. We'll talk, and you can educate me a little on that. And give me some of your get some research together, some things I can look at and read, and get some really solid stuff on it. Okay.
And you can also follow my case because I'm prosecuting.
All right. Well, let's talk a bit about that then. Like I said, next week is a good time. Don't bother. There's not much left of this week anyway. Wait till the middle of next week. And by the way, anybody that's calling me, if it's a question or something that could wait till Monday night, that's the time to bring those questions up, and that'll give an opportunity to everyone to hear the answer too, because often I talk to people and I repeat myself all day long sometimes. If it's something that could wait till Monday, let's do it on Monday. If you really have to talk to me, then fine, give me a call. The best times to get me, I think, I would have to say between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those are the best times to call me. You might get me during the day. If I'm busy on paperwork, like right now, I'm going to be real busy on putting this stuff together for the testing in the next few days. So I'm going to ignore my phone. There's a few key people who might call that I have to talk to, and if I see them call, I will answer the call. But generally speaking, I'll ignore my phone. If I have the time and taking a break, then I'll answer the phone. But, during the day, it's hard for me sometimes because I just have a lot of paperwork to do, and I have a lot of, like right now, the website. I got to get this work done on the website. It is getting to a point where it's hard for me to be on the phone often, and a lot of people want to talk to me. But Monday is a good time, right here on the call. And if you really want to got to talk to me, best time, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. There are some evenings I don't get on necessarily back on at 8, because I always try to take a break from dinner time, be with the family for a couple hours, then I get back online again. And usually I'm on by 8. But sometimes I'm not, just apologize for that. All right, let me take the next caller. Carol, go right ahead. Next caller, K-A-R-O-L. Hello? Okay, maybe they're away from their phone. Hello, you there? Hello? All right, I guess they'll have to come back into the queue. Let me go. There's only two more callers. Wireless caller, 406. Go right ahead.
Hey, John. Anthony here from West Virginia.
How you doing?
We just made like a 12-hour trip today, and we constituted three more counties.
Great.
And next week we're going out. We're making two sessions out next week, five stops, and we're going to finish the state next week. So
all right.
I heard.
This is the kind of call I like to get when people like Anthony, anybody that can tell me things. I really want to hear these things. This is great work, Anthony.
Thank you. I have some really great help. I have two dedicated people, David and Bill, who without which I couldn't do anything. Michael Anthony was with us today. You remember him? He was originally the state organizer here.
Yep.
And we had kind of an interesting time as we constituted three counties today. So We're, I just heard your request about getting the state sealed, so I'm going to get on that right away tomorrow, probably.
Right, we'll get your state added in time then for next week, and even if it's a day or two late, it doesn't matter. We'll get you a seal because you're going to be done.
Okay.
So, yeah, get the seal, get ready, and get on board, and make sure one of the state coordinators is at our meeting next week. I'm not sure what day, maybe Wednesday night or something, I don't know. But we'll do something next week just for the state coordinators to come in to really let's get down to business and what we're doing and focused and what our plan is. And, again, anybody is welcome to this meeting. It's going to go out to everybody, but it's really the state coordinators that we want focused in on this. So.
Well, we're on target. It couldn't be done without Bill and David, and we're just dedicated. We'll be going out, like I say, again,
right,
twice next week. We'll make five stops, and we'll be done. And then we got to just call paperwork signed up and officiated.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for that information. Anything else?
You're welcome, and I'll be listening in.
Okay, thank you. And again, I like to hear more callers like this. This is what we need. I need someone to get up there and tell me this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do it with Joe and Mike or Mary or Sue or whatever. We're going to do it. Let's get it done. Okay, thanks. Let's go to the next caller, 301, Janice, it looks like.
Janice from Maryland. How you doing?
Janice, how you doing? From where?
Maryland.
Marilyn, how you doing, Jenny?
I'm fine. I just want to piggyback off the previous call about the private attorney general. I know one personally, and I asked him how did he do that. He said he called the attorney general's office in his state. He got all the information how to do it. They were willing to work with him. He did it. He got all his credentials, and he goes around. He can go to any state. He comes up here, and I live right at the D.C. line. I'm in Maryland, but I can go two blocks. I'm in Washington, D.C. And he comes in this area all the time, and he does mediation for foreclosure for people. He goes in court for people.
Okay. Well, I think what we're going to do is this. I'm going to hopefully get a little educated on this next week. And, you know, I've heard about this for quite some time, and I've heard some people talking, and I just have not had the time to do research. I don't accept anything. I've learned this a while ago. I don't accept anything without the research. I want to see the research. I want to see,
you
know, the authorities and everything. And then once I get all that together, I think what we'll do is we'll create a page on our page, you know, on our website for private attorney generals. So when people need someone, they'll have a directory of people that are doing this.
Okay,
so.
I was just confirming some of the stuff that the previous caller said, because I
appreciate
do personally know one, and I know what he does for people,
right,
going to court and everything. Also, I had contribute $5 monthly, but after listening to your previous caller, I want to know if I can stop the automatic payment and just send checks, I mean money orders every month and not
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, you should be able to go up online and go to PalTalk where you put this in and stop the payment. I'll look into seeing how that is done if you can't figure it out. And if you do know how to do it, if you do figure it out, let me know. And then what I'll do is I'll post the instructions for people. But I know PayPal is pretty simple on being able to stop the automatic payments.
Oh, okay.
So if you can't figure it out, let me know, and I'll do it for you.
Okay, because it might be some months that I can send more than $5. So if I'm not locked into the $5, I can just send money orders.
I appreciate
it. I can send more.
Yeah, we do have some people that send, you know, $5, $10, $20 through the mail every month, and they've been pretty consistent on it, and I'm thankful for that. And everybody here at National Liberty Alliance is, because it keeps us going and it keeps us doing what we're doing. And we don't need a lot of money, but to some degree, sometimes we do. Well, look, we need money no matter how you go about
it. Of course you do.
You
do what you
have
to do.
Yeah, just can't be done without it.
And I had a car load, and we were ready to come up on Monday to the case.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were.
But it will happen.
What state are you in again? Maryland?
Maryland, right at Washington, D.C. line.
Well, if you want to come up for the big thing on Saturday, next Saturday, not this weekend, but the following weekend, big, we're going to have an all-day affair or an event up in Claverack, New York. It's Columbia County.
Okay, you're going to put blast
yeah,
an email
yeah,
out?
Yeah, you probably missed the earlier part of the evening. You can listen to it because I'm going to post this tonight. You'll be able to listen to it tonight. But we will We will put it out an email tomorrow, the details, and we'll talk about it on Monday again.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Carol, I see Carol is back. We lost you before. You were away from your phone. You were tardy. You're back now? Well, maybe you haven't got your mic plugged in because we're not hearing you. If you're talking, we're not hearing. If you're calling in through the web, there goes. I heard you now. Carol? Well, I heard something for a second there. By the way, if anybody's calling in off of the website and if their mic doesn't work, the best thing to do is totally disconnect, shut down your browser, open up your browser, and then come back in. So, Carol, last chance before I move to the next call. Are you there? Okay. Try to get back into the queue. Maybe you have a mic problem. Next caller, 760, wireless caller. In fact, this
hey,
is the last.
It's Vicki Kelly.
How you doing, Vicki?
I'm doing good. Hey, I got a question. I wasn't here at the beginning of the call. Now, did we get denied for June 2nd? Is that why
yes.
you? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then.
Well,
they
did is they wanted the $400, and we're not going to give it to them. So we did other things. If you haven't seen the papers yet, go up on the news page, and the breaking news, and read the papers, what they said, and what you know, what he said, what she said. You know, it's all up there.
Oh, okay, all right. And then, well, what I have to say is that it's not going to matter that there's two people, but I don't support basically doing the indictment only because I don't feel that I have enough information or how this indictment's going to take place. So I don't know
right.
how.
Well, you know, I'll tell you exactly what it is. This
okay,
is exactly
well, I
what
can't it is. Vote. I can't vote over the phone for something that I'm not seeing
right.
in front of me or I don't know enough about. So, I mean, obviously you've got enough people to move forward, and even if you didn't,
oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
Have that right to
yeah.
move forward anyway.
But just so you know, just for your understanding, and, you know, unfortunately, we can't come together physically, especially when we do a vote on a statewide. And in this case, it's the first time we did it on a national level. Particularly the states involved are the 12 or 14 or 16, whatever it is, it's going to end up being constituted by the time we do the paperwork on this. But the main thing is this. This is the bottom line. We have a judge. We've sent the papers out. You read the papers. He said what he said. We responded back. We gave him a writ of error. We corrected him, and we commanded him. We, the people, are commanding him. We're not asking for nothing. We're telling him what to do. And we have the authority to do that because we're the people. And we should be sitting in the courts at this point, and that's where we need to be, is we need to be working out of the courts, doing the people's business from the courts under judicial auspices. And that person is interfering with that. They don't have the authority to do that. You won't find, no judge has ever been given the authority to block the people out of their court. And that's what they're doing. And if he doesn't obey and do the right thing and protect the Republican form of government, particularly a constitutional Republican form of government, which is his duty to do, we gave him all the necessary information. He sees that crimes are being committed. He sees that RICO is in New York State. Actually, it's everywhere, but it's clearly laid out. He sees what the crimes they have committed, and all of that is documented in the paperwork. We've done informations. We've done indictments. We've done we've got all the paperwork in there, the letters that convict them. Now this judge has a constitutional duty. His purpose, the reason why he is a judge, the reason why he is sitting in that courtroom in our district is to protect our constitutional form of government, Republican form of government. And that is written exactly like that. Well, it's written in the sense, protect our Republican form of government, and that's in Article 4, I believe, Clause 2. And when you combine that with the Supremacy Clause, which is Article 6, Clause 2, which requires the Constitution being the law of the land, which is common law. You combine that together, then it requires a constitutional Republican form of government. That's his biggest job, bigger than any other job he's got. And if he is derelict of duty of that, then he is in bad behavior and he needs to be removed. And the process of removing him is through indictment. And so if you want to vote in on that, that's fine. But you can read the papers, and if not, you're right, we do have enough to go forward.
Yeah. You don't need anybody, really. So are you concerned about maybe the consequences of your actions, or are you confident enough that there's nothing that can be done to you?
Absolutely nothing can be done to me. They could do violence to me, you know. I'm ready for that to some degree. Nothing I could do about that. But as far as legally, not a darn thing they could do about it. We've taken it step by step by step by step by step. We are so rock solid. If you've been reading the papers, they have nothing, zero. They have two letters, and they stop writing because they realize all they're doing is getting themselves in more trouble. Okay? That's all they have since this whole thing began. And they didn't even write it themselves. They did it through a filter. They did it through a lawyer. And we've done all the right things, the legal things. And it's all laid out. We have a history. Sent the FBI out after us three times, and they turned tail and run immediately. They didn't spend no more than 10 minutes with us. They say, we're out of here. We don't see a problem. Carry on. And they left. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
my concern is saying, that I support something or that, go ahead and do this, when I think it's pretty serious matter. So I would have to say no,
It is a serious matter. You're absolutely right. And it's as serious as this, America tomorrow or no America tomorrow. That's how serious a matter this is. Yeah. We don't have time to pussyfoot around with these guys no more. As a matter of fact, we are very direct with them. We tell them the way it is. We don't hold any punches back. And the next paper is going to be really just telling it the way it is. And it's going to be pretty bold in a bold way the way we're going to write this next one. They've all been pretty bold anyway, you know.
Yeah. Well, I hope whatever you do, I hope it all works out.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take our next call. Thanks for the call. Sarah's back. Let me see. Let me get the next caller. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. I just wanted to point out from the last caller, the lady. She had every opportunity to *6 and, actually voice her not wanting to do it earlier along with the judgment.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's only two people that backed down out of 96, I think, at the time.
Yeah, I'm just stating that, some people are just, whether they have to take like a whole 10 minutes to think of it or whatever, but they really had their chance to come out and say they weren't for it themselves to begin with. At this point, we have enough majority anyway.
Oh, yeah, look at everybody has the right to dissent or go forward, and I would never, ever, ever hold that against anyone, nor would I get angry with anyone that dissents on something that I want to get it done, but they may not want to get it done. You know, it doesn't really matter. The point is that we do the right thing and we end up the right way. Most of the people that decide to dissent on things like this, it's because they don't feel that they have enough information and they're following their conscience, and I respect that.
Absolutely. And, the bottom line is even, before realizing that there is common law and there are better options that uphold the Constitution, it always mattered whether you knew things. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, and therefore all of us are, required to pursue as much knowledge.
Well, that's interesting that you just said is ignorance of the law is no excuse, because I believe that too. But recently I was reading, I think it was in the, the jury, trial by jury, if I recall, but someplace recently, ignorance of the law is statutory. If someone is ignorant of the law, they can't be held accountable, only for the reason being is that it's the intent that makes them guilty. And no one's guilty, no one's ignorant to the law when it comes to the matter of the heart. And God says that he had written the law in man's heart. There's not a person on this planet, you know, unless they're really, you know, they're seriously, got serious, you know, problems, you know, brain damage or something of that nature, serious psychological problem, they have no grip on reality type thing, to step for those people. There's nobody in this planet greatly intelligent or close to a moron that doesn't know that it's not right to harm another human being. You know, so, you know, if you steal from someone, you've harmed another human being. Everybody knows that's wrong. If you, you know, harm someone in any way, it's wrong. So those laws are absolute. But intent is the other thing. You know, we talked a little bit about intent, and every jury's got to figure this out. We have to define this a little better. I got to think on this and see how we can define this better so that we all are aware of this and we can deliver this to the juries so that they're aware of it too. You know, you get someone that kills someone accidentally, okay? Well, it's accidentally. That's no intent at all. You can't get that person for manslaughter because, you know, I mean, if it was reckless, that's
well,
a different story.
You have to, within the jury and the witnesses, ascertain whether there was negligence. If there was
If there was intent or negligence, and if there's no intent and there's no negligence, you can't hold the person accountable. And in our courts today, you know, they will hold you accountable. My goodness, they'll hold you accountable if you shoot a robber in your house. You know, they'll try to hold you accountable. You know, it's insane.
A lot of these statutes are purposely twisted so that they can feed their agenda and their commerce because I was listening to someone giving a talk. I believe it was the clip that I sent you. He stated that it is noted that all statutes, crime is commerce. And basically their whole purpose is to create funds for their whole structure. And it feeds up to the top. Now, common law is about justice, and it's about universal law so that the greater good is served for everyone. And so, again, you know, depending on everybody's opportunity, but, you know, when faced with the actual law and how someone is harmed and not to pervert the witness and the remedy, that is what really, you know, to an extent you can say certain people are ignorant, but once you've shown how these things stack up and they still refuse to allow the remedy, then they become, you know, willful, ignorant.
Well, again, the jury has to figure all that out, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a you know that could be a hard job sometimes. But and of course, if they can't really, if they don't feel confident, then they got to vote not guilty, you know. But we always also have to keep in mind the injured party here, you know. So we have to do our best diligence to figure this out. All right, let me take, you are the last caller. There was someone else, but they're gone. So if there's nothing else, I'd like to.
Nothing else for now. You know, it's just, it's an ongoing discussion in general in regards to common law because every situation will have a little bit different nuance or different.
Right. Every case is unique on its own, and that is absolutely why the legislators shouldn't be sticking their nose into the cases. It's the people that have to decide on whether a law applies or not, and it's the people that have to decide on the intent, and they have to look at the facts and the law and figure it out, and every case is unique. You know, so that's why we can't let legislators try to figure out the whole world and every, you know, because you go to court today, you know, if the law is black and white and that's it, you know, and a judge gets to decide that, I mean, you'll go figure that one. The judge gets to decide that one? Wait a second. Clearly, the jury has always decided both facts and law in common law. So
the judge is supposed to be the moderator,
between the jury, the witnesses, the injured party.
Well,
and
he's supposed to be like a traffic cop to make things, nobody talk over each other and keep order in the court. But his real job is to do the will of the sovereign of the court, which is the tribunal. And the tribunal is that jury. He's to do their will. That's his job. But you're right. He is to not moderate, but to I think that might be a wrong word. Really just to make sure that everybody takes a turn and there's an order in the court. That's what he's really supposed to do. Make sure the order stays in the court. Everybody gets the turn and the time necessary, and then he's got to obey the jury.
Yep.
But of course, that's not the way it works in our courtrooms at this point. That's what we're trying to fix.
Exactly.
So, okay, we got one more caller come up. So let me move on to the last caller. I want to try to get to bed. Okay, thanks for calling. Okay, next caller, it's an 845 wireless caller. Go right ahead.
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, this is Sheila. How are you?
Good.
Yes, I just wanted to say one last thing, that there are so many avenues that has been put before us, and we are so confused as a species. And I say species because we are one. I mean, one tiger doesn't run the other tiger away because your stripes are a little different. You are a tiger. And so we are one species. And this is a war. It's not a war of race. It's not a war of religion. It's not a war of anything. It's the war of the human race. And we have to get on that plateau where we're seeing us against them. And everything you're doing is for us. And people have to realize that. They have to stop questioning something that is good. You know, because we have been so taught to learn this, and we believe in this, and we believe in that. We need enforcement behind what we're doing. And we can get all the court orders in the world, but if we don't have the law enforcement, and I mean peaceful law officers, not law enforcement, to back this thing, then it's going to go nowhere because
right.
That's
and,
what they
and
have.
And that's the job of the sheriff and the marshals, and they'll take their order from the judge, and that's why we're going to the judge to give the order to the judge what he must do, and the judge must give the order to the marshal and the sheriff. So the sheriff must do his job, and if he doesn't, then he's gonna, then the order goes to the marshal to deal with the sheriff and then the undersheriff gets to take a chance to do the right thing. And if he doesn't, then the marshal's got to take care of him, too. We'll go to the next guy. But it's got to get done. And that's enforced.
Thank you. Thank you. Just
good.
Wanted you to say that.
All
right. Good night, John.
All right.
Thank you.
We got one more caller came in. We're going to keep it short. 401, go right ahead.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
It's Steve. How are you this evening? You there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, this is Steve from Rhode Island. How are you?
Good. Good. Yourself?
All right. Hey, you know, I read everything, and, you know, I just hope, you know, I hope it all turns out.
And I was thinking about you the other day because I'm looking at a pile of papers on my desk, and I got to dig through there and find yours and get it out. And I promise I'm going to work on that, unless I forget, but I'm going to work
all on
that this weekend, and you know, I got a table in my office. It's a round table. It's in the center of my office, and it's just piled up with papers. And I forgot even what the tabletop looks like. I got to dig that out. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, regardless, you know, the main thing is we cannot turn back. And even if we have another setback, there's 49 other states. There's lots of courthouses. I don't care how many courthouses we got to go to or how many, you know, another district court in another state, whatever it takes,
right. We're gonna
we
do
must
it.
Get
right.
this done. The country is at huge risk. I mean, economically, we had negative growth Q1. We have so many problems. I mean, it's just unreal what they're not reporting. We're in gigantic survival type issue problems here. So we must get this done for the sake of our people. So let's just get this thing done and never forget, you know, there are always our other avenues, and keep praying, and let's, you know, just stick it out. That's it.
I agree. And try to make it if you can. I know it's a long trip, but try to make it here to New York on next Saturday for our cookout. Spend the whole day
cookout.
Together, all of us. And, big cookout. And we're going to start at, like, 10:30 in the morning. We got the place from, like, 9 or 9:30 until, I think, 1 hour after dusk. So we're not going to be there that long. But we'll be there till the sun starts to going down, I'm sure. We'll be there all day, you know, because some people have traveled a long way, so we're not going to make it short. And we'll probably have a few speakers. And it's all us, you know, speaking about what we're doing and where we're going. There'll be nobody really speaking on any other subject matter. And we'll have an opportunity to sit down and share our families and have a burger.
Yeah, break some bread together. That's what it takes.
Yeah.
We need to do that as a nation, all of us. We need to just break bread and start reaching our hands out to others and one person at a time and re-knit this nation again. And, you know, we're just one of those things, you know, and it's just going to take us to turn the tide. So we'll do it. We'll do it.
Absolutely.
So,
okay.
Thanks for the invite. That sounds great.
And bring whoever you can. You know what? You know the people in Connecticut, and you can pick people up along the way or carpool and meet up with others and whatever you got to do, and bring people from Rhode Island there, and let's do it.
Okay.
So if you can make it, it'll be good. So.
That sounds good.
We're going to talk. We're going to get a lot. We're going to get an email out on this stuff tomorrow, and we're going to talk more on Monday. And Monday we'll know pretty much where we're heading with this judge, and we'll take it from there. You know, we do have to give time for the mail, and so, you know, we'll
give them that extra day. One thing at a time, and then, you know, it's our job. It's a lot of one things at a time, so a lot of things to tackle.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Let me sign off now. Thanks everybody for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you on Monday, and let's keep up the focus on what we have to do, and let's get the job done. Good night. Thank you.